Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Hi guys, welcome to my next episode of the City Confessions. I can't believe we are already in the last week of March, but to celebrate, I have Katya Bychkova, who is a full-time Russian beauty blogger and content creator. You probably also recognize her in all my stories and Instagram posts because she's probably one of the closest person in this industry that I know, and I actually sort of like at times. Today, we will be talking about just her experience growing up in the city and her background and all the good stuff that you know I usually dive into with this episode. So, privet.
Hello. Hi, Marianne. Nice Russian skills.
Thanks. And that means hello, guys, right?
Yes.
Like, welcome.
No, it just means hello.
Okay.
Period.
Hello. Period. Okay, so would you like to start off by just telling the audience a little bit about yourself and when did you come here? Why did you come here? What was your initial thoughts? The whole shebang.
Okay, sure. It's going to be 11 years this summer since I came to New York. Originally from Russia, I studied at Moscow State University and wanted to explore something new and also potential job opportunities in the city. And basically, when I came here, I started working for the Russian-American newspaper. It was the biggest Russian newspaper abroad. It's called Novaya Ruskaya Slova. Try repeating that.
Novaya Ruskaya Slova.
Yeah, something like this, very close. And basically what I'm doing ever since I left my job at that newspaper is concentrating on creating beauty content, lifestyle content on my blog, stylesprinter.com, and Instagram, stylesprinter everywhere.
Great.
Yes.
So what actually sparked your interest in, I guess, writing as well as beauty and makeup?
Well, it started so many years ago that it's hard to remember, but I started writing when I was 15 back in Belarus. And interestingly enough, my first published article was about breakdance, believe it or not. And it came out on my dad's birthday. And
this was published?
Yes, it was published on my dad's birthday. And the interesting part is that people working at this newspaper didn't know me personally. And at this moment, there was like an era of analog photography. So they didn't know which photo to use. So they used my photo for my article for breakdancing.
Was it like a headshot or?
No, it was like a group photo, but I was pretty much in the middle. So that's how it all started. And it's never stopped ever since. I was working on a Belarusian television in a like a TV series about fashion and beauty, celebrities, stuff like that. Then I moved to Moscow. I continued working on that. And then in New York also, beauty all the time.
So when did you exactly come to New York? You said almost 11 years ago?
Yes, it was in 2008.
And why New York?
Why not? That's the capital of everything. Not to mention that I was inspired by Sex and the City.
So you mentioned to me actually off of this that you didn't really know English or that you used, I guess, shows and writing as a means to really grasp this foreign language. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. I knew how to write in English, but it was pretty basic knowledge, even though somehow I got accepted to university, and one of my exams was English. But when I came here, I felt that I can't communicate because I knew how to write. I didn't know how to speak. And until this day, I remember first time when I was trying to buy a cup of coffee, and I felt so ashamed that I sound weird, that no one understands me. But a few years later, I realized everyone in the city has an accent. So if you don't understand me, that's your problem.
And that's why I invited you for this series. I mean, technically, you can still be on it regardless because you are basically a New Yorker, but it kind of meshed well with, you know, the March accent series. So tell me about just growing up in the city. What was it like? What was New York in your perspective as this, you know, girl who grew up in Russia?
It was a completely unique and different experience. First of all, you know, how tall the buildings are. Also, how quickly people are moving. Also, the entire fact that you can take coffee to go, it was a completely new concept for me, believe it or not. Well, back in Russia, until this day, it's not every place is giving it to you.
So you can only sit down for coffee?
Yes, which is a good and a bad thing. Because, you know, for instance, in Italy, if you are, like, if you're traveling to France, if you're trying to get coffee, you know, to go, they're looking at you like, relax, girl, spend your time drinking your espresso and go. And I guess Russians have similar approach to many things. And but it's not only about coffee. It's about everything from how aggressive New Yorkers could be to how friendly people that you never talked to in real like before could be. It's a, you know, multinational city that I've never experienced anywhere before. Also, food. How cool is that? That you can eat literally Spanish food for breakfast, Chinese for lunch, and Indian for dinner. It's incredible. And for any foodie or a person who is curious in life, it's a great experience to enjoy.
Yep, I agree. Because you know me, I love food.
Yes, you do.
So tell me about what your favorite part of the city is and what your least favorite part is.
That's a very interesting question. I think this area where we're right now, Flatiron, is one of my favorites because it has some of my favorite restaurants. Also, I love Central Park because I have a little dog. Her name is Lilu. She's a Yorkie, and we love just going for a walk. And, you know, I would not call it hiking because it's pretty much flat surface, but you know, it's very enjoyable. Also, the views of the water and trees, I really love it. And least favorite, it's probably anywhere around Penn Station and Grand Central. Even though I don't have that much of, I think it's called agoraphobia, when people are afraid of, like, open spaces. But so many people in one place kind of, like, make me nervous.
Yeah, I think some people who are not from New York, they automatically think that, like, a lot of New Yorkers live in that area, which, of course, they do. There are residential buildings, but mostly it's people working there. Like, it's such a big hub for, like, corporate jobs and all that.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I have a very interesting story about also too many people. My parents visited me a few years ago in the city, and I was thinking that for them it's going to be such a cool experience to stay at Times Square area. So you have everything. You have Broadway. Mm-hmm. You have all those, like, displays. So we booked a hotel on Times Square, and my parents literally were in panic. First of all, they were not used to so many people at the same place. It didn't feel safe to them, and even though it was convenient from transportation standpoint, it was shocking experience to the point that my mom said, "I'm never coming back." And a few years later, she's like, "I'm ready, but can we please stay Upper East Side or somewhere more quiet?"
Yeah, I think some people, too, that they visit, they get super overwhelmed just because, you know, it might be compared to wherever they're originally from, that it's not as hectic. And they always ask me, like, "I don't know how you live here." But again, if you're born here, you literally, that's all you know.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, this is the norm. And anything that's not as fast paced is weird. So that's like what I experience when I usually travel. So is there any crazy encounter that you've had in New York that just like is could have only happened here?
I knew it's coming, and I'm not sure if this story I should be sharing it, but you know me, oversharing is my kind of thing. So I'll tell you what it was. So basically, it was probably during my first year in the city, and I kind of understood what people are talking, what they're saying, but I didn't in many cases. So one day I was having lunch at near Empire State Building, and I took off my shoes, get my salad on, and I was, you know, eating my lunch. And then some guy came to me, and he's like, something in English. Okay? I said, okay. So he stands on his knees, licks my toes, and runs away.
Oh my God. Wait, first of all, who the hell takes off their shoes in the city?
Well, first of all, it was one of those, you know, like walking areas where you can have lunch. And I was wearing high heels all the day long. I wanted to take them off for like a few moments during lunch break.
So he came into like the cafe or restaurant or whatever?
No, it was outside. It was on the street. It was like a...
Okay. Like a plaza? Like one of those open space, public areas where you can eat.
Yes. So that experience taught me, first of all, if New Yorker is asking you anything, first of all, say no and then figure it out.
Right.
And also maybe don't take off your shoes in public. It's not a good idea.
What did you do after? Did you like scrub your feet like a million times?
Yes. Until this moment, it was probably the most traumatic and shocking experience.
Wait, and was this guy like a regular guy or was he well-dressed?
I can't even remember because, you know, my memory kind of erased all of the negativity, but that's my craziest New York story.
That's so weird.
Can you beat that, Marianne?
No, I cannot. I actually feel like I don't even have that many crazy stories because maybe people just know. They're like, she's a New Yorker, don't fuck with her, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I was actually waiting for this moment when people will start kind of recognizing me as a New Yorker. Back in the day, I used to work at the Empire State Building. And you know those guys that like call you to get to the observatory? They sell tickets to the observatory. And one day, I was working in the same building. So one day I go and I dress like Russian style. They're like, oh, selling tickets, want to go upstairs? Next time I'm wearing all black, trying to look like a New Yorker. They don't pay attention to me. So in a way, these guys helped me to learn New York style.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they say. New Yorkers all wear black, which I don't even know where that comes from. Because even though, I'm, you know, born and raised here, I don't even think it's that, like, prevalent.
Actually,
I think
it
might just be, no...
It's just your fashion blogger, you know? It's so different for you.
I guess, but I'm saying even growing up, even before I like dived into this whole blogging world and fashion industry, I actually associated people who wear black either in like jobs of service, like serving food, or like in PR, just to greet people because I think that's like the dress code. But other than that, I felt like a lot of people kind of just had their own style. I mean, and it's New York, for God's sake. Like, I think anything and everything goes here.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. Okay, let's shift gears a little bit. And now that we kind of have, you know, your little background out of the way, let's talk about more serious things. So I would like to ask you what keeps you up at night. And that can be literally or figuratively. I don't know if you've been having good sleep. You know, as a friend, just want to check up on you and your sleep and your mental health. And just in your current moment right now, is there anything bothering you or are you just loving life? And you can be totally honest.
Okay, let's start from the beginning of this long question. What physically keeps me up at night is that I live a few blocks away from an emergency room, from a hospital. And those sirens, people say, after a few years in New York, you will not even notice. No, trust me, you notice. When you wake up at 4 a.m., because of the emergency, you know that. And what keeps me up at night from kind of psychological standpoint is deadlines. I feel like in New York, deadlines never end, especially in our industry when everything is so fast-paced and you just want to perform your best every single day. But it's not always possible. So You know, I feel like in January, I sort of took a long break. I went to Florida for 3 weeks because I literally was burned out. This fourth quarter of the year, which is like October, November, December, is usually so busy. You probably know yourself for, in our industry. So I just needed this January to relax. So I came back in such a, you know, better spirits. And now I'm, you know, kind of feeling that I enjoyed relaxing so much that it's a little difficult to get back to that crazy lifestyle and schedule. But it's all about balance. So I'm trying to kind of balance it out, even though my favorite quote is balance is bullshit. But we're trying to achieve it.
I don't know if anybody's actually listening to my podcast every week, but for those few loyal people, I can't even express how much or how many times the word balance has come across all of my episodes. Whether, and specifically this month, the last three guests were actually all moms. So, of course, they were like finding balance, you know, in their profession and their, I guess, yeah, in their life and responsibility as a mom, but then also their full-time job. And actually, all of them are bloggers as well. So that's like a running theme within this, I guess, just series. And specifically me, I've expressed that if I can summarize 2019, what I hope to achieve is balance as well. So I feel like it's a little overplayed, but still something that's super, I don't know, like it seems easy sometimes to achieve, but it actually isn't. And it's not one of those things where, like, once you achieve it, you've got it all figured out.
But do you really think it's achievable? I feel like it's one of those concepts that...
Well, we had this argument. You know, not an argument, but this debate the other day. Because I actually think it is possible and you completely just don't think so, correct?
Impossible. Because it's, you know, it's a niche. It's a human nature. If there is no such day or moment in your life when everything is completely perfect. Let's say you're like on the beach, everything is perfect, and then you're like, damn, this photo didn't come out, and stuff like that.
Well, you associated, you define the balance as almost perfection, and I disagree. I think perfection and balance are two different things. First of all, I think balance can mean different things for different people, and speaking of sirens, also like a lot of people when they listen to this, they're always like, what's going on? This is how you know. We're actually filming, I mean, recording in New York.
Yes.
You can't beat this, you know, authentic noise. But anyways, yeah, I think people can have different meanings for balance, especially what their lifestyle is. They can say, like, you know what, like, this is my lifestyle. This is what it means for me to be balanced and something else for another person. That also, similarly, is, like, not saying it's synonymous to happiness, but I think people define happiness in different ways. So I think as long as maybe you need to, like, switch your definition of balance, you can certainly find it.
But, like, what's your definition? How do you, at which moments do you feel it's balanced?
I find balance when I'm at peace with how I'm feeling. So that's emotionally, where I'm at physically and, like, mentally and spiritually. And when everything kind of just aligns. And I definitely have had those moments, even if they've been brief and fleeting the next. I think I have been able to experience it. And again, and I don't think it can last forever. But I think you can find balance. And I think it takes work. And just like, I don't know, maneuvering through life just to figure it out.
And what's the kind of correlation between balance and happiness? Do you think it's the same thing?
No. I think balance is more like peace than it is like happiness. I think happiness, I said this actually in a previous episode, happiness is more of like an emotion and, right, like a feeling. So feelings don't last. You know that. I mean, since we've met, I've had a million feelings and emotions gone through me. But I think happiness and I think balance is a state of mind. And that's something that you have to basically, I don't know, like, once you find it, you kind of have to, like, hold on to it and own it. So it's more, it's a state of mind and happiness is a feeling.
Okay, good. Very deep, Marianne. Did you notice Thanks. How I'm interviewing
yes,
you?
Yes, I do know that. I
That's
have
my journalism
it.
Background. Welcome to my life.
Okay. How would you define a New Yorker?
Interesting question. New Yorker is this very special breed. Always on the go, very opinionated, running fast, cup of coffee in one hand, a phone in another, dry cleaning in the third hand, and I don't know, a Gucci bag in the fourth hand,
Do you think other people, do you think, let me see how I can phrase this, because somebody told me that they believe they can resonate with being a New Yorker, but they don't live in New York. So you think there are New Yorkers in other parts of the world that were actually made for the city and just don't live here? Or do you think New Yorkers, the true New Yorkers, are the ones who are, you know, living, breathing this pollution and all this stinky smell, the subway and all that?
I feel that New Yorkers are a breed that kind of lives across the universe. Personally, for me, I would say that I could never kind of get accustomed to Russian or Belarusian lifestyle and pace of living. But when I came to New York, I'm like, yeah, that's how the life should be. So I think, yes, this is just the overachieving type A personality. I want it all and I want it now sort of person. But at the same time, person who probably has an appreciation for arts and fashion, music, stuff like that. So it's not only lifestyle choices, it's also cultural and societal choices.
That's super interesting. I actually never thought about it that way. I actually always thought about it as more lifestyle. That's exactly what people normally think when they think of the city.
Yeah, but don't you feel like if you're talking to people and you ask, why do you love New York? They usually mention at least few things. Food, art scene, and, you know, maybe a lot of things to do. So you cannot take out that cultural thing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So as we are, you know, just warming up, we're basically halfway through the episode. So I would like to ask you basically your confession. And I think, like, for you, I know you've heard my first one, and I actually spoke to you about this personally just, you know, before recording my first one. Do you want to take a moment to kind of tell us about your confession, if you have one? Again, if you don't, it's fine. I hate to, like, force my guests to speak about something that they're not comfortable with. But it's just, you know how passionate I am about this. I just want to get people to kind of open up a dialogue to talk about topics that are maybe taboo, or maybe just, I don't know, for some reason society never talks about them, or just, like, making it okay for people to have problems and to talk about them, because we all, you know, can relate to that.
Mm-hmm. I listen to your podcast and I see how, like, other people have confessions, and honestly, I couldn't even come out with one that I can make. But if we're talking about topics that are very important and that kind of, like, changed your life, we should talk about, you know, health stuff. You know, that's like 5 years ago, I had this situation when I was sick and no one could kind of, like, help me out. And I had to do surgery for endometriosis, and it completely changed my life. So,
wait, for those who don't know what that is, can you just explain?
Yeah, it's basically, you know, like, during your cycle, when your egg should be going into fallopian tubes, and it basically means you're not pregnant this month. It's all good for, like, normal people, and for people with endometriosis, those cells are basically traveling all over your body, and you know, they will, like, sit on different organs that creates inflammation. So for me, it was such a traumatic experience, you know, and I feel that it completely changed not only my lifestyle but also approach to life. You probably know, and we kind of, like, you know, bonded on this topic, that wellness is super important for me, because, you know, if at the age, like, in your late 20s, you realize that, you know, certain things like your health will not last forever. You start living your life in a completely different way. It comes to working out, eating healthy, trying to find the time to relax, not taking things too close to your heart, and just letting go a lot of things. So I think that's my confession. When I woke up after my surgery, I asked my doctor, "Doctor, am I alive?" And then, maybe because I was under anesthesia, I was like, damn, if I asked it, I must be alive. And I started laughing. So ever since that, am I alive? I feel that I do feel more alive in life in general, and kind of moving towards my dream as opposed to trying to figure out what to do with my life.
So I don't know how to say what it is. How do you pronounce it again? Endo?
Endometriosis. You can do endo.
Endo. Okay, let's just do it. Let's just do that. So is that life-threatening or like, because I don't know much about it. So
it's not life-threatening, but it's very painful to the point that people go to emergency rooms. And the problem with that particular disease is that you can only diagnose it if you do a surgery. You have to do like a laparoscopic surgery to even like figure out what it is. And oftentimes people misread this disease that so many girls have in the world. But since you can't really like diagnose it, they're thinking it's like, oh, you have just severe cramps or you have like stomach ache and stuff like that. So while it's not life threatening, a lot of people think that it's not kind of not painful. And the problem with endo is that they will look at you and you look at like a young, healthy woman who just complains about visibly kind of no pain, no, who's complaining but who doesn't actually experience any pain. But you personally know,
right? That, I mean, that's what I said in my first episode. Like, you know your body more than anybody else, and your gut will tell you if something is wrong or not.
Yeah, but unfortunately, like, you know, in my situation, it took forever to figure it out. And I feel that this experience made me stronger because I had to fight to even prove doctors who, you know, who kind of like studied for that and have experience with that, that whatever I Googled is wrong with me is actually it is. So, you know, that's how a fighter in me was born, I guess.
You go, girl.
Yes.
So after the surgery, are you basically pain-free, aside from obviously the common cramps and the cramps that usually comes with a woman's cycle?
Yeah. It's sort of less painful as it used to be. Like, it's a completely, like, different level of pain. It does feel just like cramps, but considering how much I'm doing in order to avoid it, including no gluten, no milk products, you know, very strict, I would say, workout routine. No, it's not as painful now. But, you know, this particular situation forced me to explore more about what works for my body, how I should be treating myself. It's much better now.
Yeah, no, that's good then.
Yeah.
It's been 5 years, right?
Yeah, 5-6 years. 2012, I did my surgery. So
I know you were saying, obviously, you're a little more cautious of what you eat and how you work out. But just based off of that experience, how do you think it changed you as a person? Not necessarily with the choices you make, but just like, I don't want to say personality, but did it motivate you to, you know, do something more? Have you been utilizing your experience to encourage others to get checked or have a conversation going on about endo? Like,
yeah, I shared multiple times on my blog and my social, my personal story, and encouraged girls who, you know, might experience similar symptoms to just, you know, go get checked. Don't be afraid of that kind of surgery if it's only for diagnostic purposes. And I feel if we're talking about life lessons that I learned from this particular situation is that I kind of stopped believing into things that I knew from my early ages that are true. For instance, you know, like you grew up thinking about like certain things in one way, and you're not doubting this knowledge because that's how your parents raised you. But in our day and age, so many things change that you have to kind of go deeper and dig deeper if something really bothers you, not only with your health, but in like with everything in life.
Wait, can you elaborate? I'm a little confused. Are you talking about just like if you feel something that you want to do to kind of take it upon yourself and run with it instead of allowing others to tell you about it?
Yeah, I was thinking it's more like, you know, like you grew up, let's say, in Russia, mm-hmm. and people doing certain things a certain way. I don't know, like it could be like some superstition based, or it could be, I don't know, just something that people always do. And then I kind of trying to figure out anything and everything, how it works for me, as opposed to how other people are doing it.
Got it. Okay.
So you basically kind of more in tune with your own thought process as opposed to what society tells you. So I feel that's what this experience taught me.
Totally. And I think that kind of relates to the whole blogging thing, because we've both been doing it for a really long time. And we, again, have conversations about where it's heading and all our struggles currently. But it is important, I think, to focus on yourself and what you are passionate about rather than comparing and looking at other people and focusing on what they're doing.
Totally. Staying in your own lane. I feel that's the best thing you can do.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if somebody else is going through this and they're experiencing endo, what is your main advice to get them through it?
Just keep a calendar of when you experience like pain. And if it's usually happens very severely, or you feel like super fatigued and you cannot do anything in life, it seems like a week before your period starts or about time of your ovulation, then just go to your doctor or your OBGYN and just talk about this problem. Because even like doctors who are professionally working with this in this industry, they're not that much familiar, I would say. So just find the person who maybe specializes, because more and more doctors recognize it's the very kind of big issue for many women. And just, you know, come to them, show them your calendar of your period and the calendar of your pain days, and you can figure something out together.
So is that what you did? Or do you think just like you would have done that earlier?
I would have done that earlier, because it took me maybe, I don't know, up to 6 months, I would say, to figure out that kind of, you know, that it coincided with my period schedule.
Well, thanks for sharing. And on that note, actually, you guys can stay tuned for another solo episode of mine, because I have mentioned that I have many confessions to share. And there is something that I'm also holding back. I don't know when the right time is for me to share it, but this conversation has opened up that, I guess, desire to do so, but we'll see. I always say that timing is everything for life, for sharing, for whatever's happening. Currently, it's all about timing. So stay tuned for that. So if you can describe New York City in one word, what would that be?
Running on high heels.
That's not one word, it's like a phrase.
I know. So running, and if you want a subheading, it's in high heels. It's like a
book.
Have
you mastered the skill of running in the city with heels?
Of course. I mastered it even before I came to New York. That's why I'm thinking I was born to be a New Yorker.
Yeah, but I'm a New Yorker too. And like sometimes, girl, after a while, you're just like, you know what? Forget the heels. I'm all about comfort. You don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. And I'm also getting my exercise on. So I'm like killing two birds with one stone.
But if you have to, you could totally do it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, I think about it when I was younger, as if I'm old. But even before I was legal, I don't know if I should be telling you guys this, but I would obviously party and go out. And meatpacking, for those in New York, know that meatpacking area is like all cobblestones.
Ah, that's the worst area to walk.
I literally would wear mini dresses and like heels and go out Friday, Saturday, even Sunday, and I don't know how I did it. Like, I literally don't know. And in college, because I went to Syracuse, it's on a hill. We used to wear heels as well, and it was snowing. Like, we would wear heels, no jackets, freeze our asses off, and just basically, I don't know, go out there. I don't know who we thought we were, but it's crazy. And I feel like my body just can't take that anymore. And obviously can't take alcohol as well.
I noticed that.
Actually, no, let's not even get started. Full disclosure, guys, I can drink more than Katya. And she's Russian, so I don't know who should be more shameful. Okay, so I just want to take a moment to acknowledge you. And thank you so much for coming. You guys don't know this, but before we came, we kind of got into an argument. What was even
as
an argument?
Always. That's it's all about energy. It's about with work. Marianne. She's like, I don't feel that your energy is to the point. I'm like, stop thinking about my energy.
But it's true. You like, vibes don't lie. That's my other motto. Anyways.
But how can you talk about something that you don't see?
Exactly, because you can feel it, and that's more than what you can see.
Okay, I think I have to just, it's so deep, I have to just agree with that, so.
Just let me win for once.
Okay, you want it, officially.
Okay, all jokes aside, I do appreciate you. And you know, I think also maybe because we're so comfortable with each other that we can act like that towards each other. Because other times, if it's a guest that I don't really know, I'm into my best behavior, but that's just with any social settings. If you're not comfortable with somebody, it's almost too good to be true. Like, you just have this, like, almost perfect relationship. And in any friendship, there needs to be argument. At least I think so. I don't think there's any perfect friendship.
Yeah, perfect friendship doesn't exist.
No.
And based on our astrological chart that we did while in Antigua,
we're
very pretty much the same person.
Because both of our moon sign are Scorpios. So we're very emotional. And I think that's why we kind of bump heads, because we're so emotionally invested, not even in ourselves, but in our relationship, that we're so, like, I don't know, like, we're just
astrological twins, I would call it.
For sure. So anyways, that rant is over. I actually want a tattoo, though. I told you, right?
Like, which tattoo?
An Aquarius, like the sign. Wouldn't it be so cool, like, right here on the collarbones?
Totally, but since I don't have any tattoos,
I know.
You have to...
But I'm in a phase where I just want to, like, do me.
Yeah.
You know? I used to think about, like, how I would look with a tattoo when I'm, like, 85, but...
I like your tattoo on the back. It's so cute.
Get there. I know. Thank you. I like it because I don't see it, so I, like, forget about it. Mm. You know? But, okay, wrapping this up. Tell people what you're currently up to. Do you have any exciting plans this summer? It's the end of March. We're a fourth into 2019. What are your goals? Talk to us.
Goals are to travel more, hopefully with you. And also to kind of step up my Instagram game. That's the plan,
you have
remember?
A personal growth goal. Which I'm, you know, all for it.
Yes. And also, you know, keep pushing when it comes to the blog, and stay more positive, because this weather can kind of let me down a little bit, but it's always about moving forward. So let's do it. More travel, more fun, more memorable moments, and, you know, let's see.
So if you guys are interested in makeup and skincare, I'll leave all of Katya's information in the description below or on the side or wherever you guys are finding this podcast. And her Instagram is Style Sprinter. And again, if you're following me, which you should be because you're listening to this, she's basically, you'll find her in at least one of my like 9 recent posts. At least for now, since we're in March. We'll see, you know, if we continue to hang out afterwards.
I'm just kidding. So.
We're like always together, guys.
I'm on your list.
People who don't even know me and meet me know about you, so.
I know. It's been almost 40 minutes of podcast. You still didn't say I'm your bestie. I'm kind of disappointed.
Did I not?
You haven't.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Let's rewind. I want to take a moment to thank my Russian bestie for coming here. No, I really do appreciate it. You already know how much I know. Love you. So, yes, and now she's going to help me shoot something because your girl is stressing. Actually, this year should also be stressless for the both of us.
That's true.
Because we're both just like,
yeah,
running around.
Is it called Mercury in retrograde? That's what I'm feeling.
It's the 28th, which makes sense because this podcast is going live on the 26th. So actually, we'll just have to deal with this for like almost 2.5 weeks, and then we should be good.
Okay.
And then April will be lovely. Spring will be here. The weather will be nice. Flowers will be blooming.
Life is going to be good. It's already so nice.
I know.
You have to think about it now.
But more.
Okay.
All right, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It was super fun, very casual, just chit-chatting with my Russian bestie. You know, just dropping it in one more time.
Second time.
Third time's a charm, though, right?
Yes.
So I need to say it one more
time. Okay, bestie. Thanks for having me, then.
You're so welcome, bestie. You're probably so annoyed of us. All right, stay tuned for the next episode, guys. Bye.
Bye.